Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, Ed. Welcome to Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta, as always. Today, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is about shifting your story. And actually, when I first came online, now it's unbelievably about 6 or 7 years ago, one of the things I was talking about was transformative journaling. And to me, the connection between shifting your story and your voice is that it's very hard for us to share our voice in the world if we have these things that get in the way. And guess what? We all have things that get in the way. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, is how to shift your story. And I'm going to draw from the work of Michael White. And if you're not familiar with Michael White, I highly recommend that you Google Michael White narrative therapy. He is really the father of narrative therapy. And so many of the ideas that I'm going to share with you today come from Michael White. So first of all, when I was doing therapy for many years, I use narrative approaches quite a bit. And one of the things I like about a narrative approach versus a there's the narrative therapy is a postmodern therapy. And so it differs from structuralist therapies that say, for example, you know, the reason you can't do X is because of Y. And we're very used to these kinds of therapies, reductionist therapies like Freudian. You know, we love, you know, listening to TV shows where someone says, well, you know, I couldn't, the reason that, you know, the reason that you can't have any intimacy is because your mother never loved you. And although certainly I do believe that obviously there is a correlation between how we're raised and our experiences in life and later on in life, what's I think so cool about constructionist theories and postmodern theories like narrative therapy is that basically we can choose that our life can be different. And so, you know, people used to say to me when I was doing therapy, one of the things I used to hear quite a bit was, you know, Doug, I know there's something wrong with me. Deep down inside, I know there's something wrong with me. Can you help me figure out what that is? And I used to say to people, well, what if deep down inside what's wrong with you is the belief or the story that you're telling yourself that deep down inside there's something wrong with you? Like, what if that is the thing? And people used to look at me and say, no, there's no way, that can't be possible. But of course, it can be possible. And what I found was that people found that very liberating. So let's start with a couple of things, some of the tenets of narrative therapy. And of course, it doesn't mean you have to do therapy on yourself. I'm just using these principles from narrative therapy to apply to how to shift your story, how to get from where you are to where maybe you'd like to be. So let's actually start, before I even do that, let me back up a minute. And let's start with thinking about, I want to ask you, what is getting in the way of you sharing your voice? I know for me, sometimes it's disappointing people or someone being upset with me. You know, those kinds of things get in the way of me sharing my voice. You know, for you, it might be something else, right? It could be maybe, you know, some other fear of being seen or being heard. We all have experiences in life where we, you know, for whatever reason, we have these interpretations and these stories that we pick up along the way. So again, in narrative approach, the central tenet of narrative therapy is that the problem is the problem. The person isn't the problem. So whatever issue that you're having, whatever's getting in the way, whatever's keeping you stuck, you are not the problem. The problem is the problem. Now, that kind of sounds like gobbledygook, but it really does matter. For example, people will come in sometimes and say, you know, I'm an erotic, or you know, people would come into therapy and say, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm an erotic. I'm too anxious. I'm you know, whatever it was. I'm a depressive, right? And one of the things that we try to do in narrative approach is to separate out the person from the problem. So part of that has to do with externalizing language. So externalizing language sounds something like this, you know, well, when did panic first come into your life? It sounds like maybe a silly way to talk, but really what you're doing is you're getting the person to realize that they are not panic. you know, you start with, they come in and say, you know, I'm panicked, you know, they say, well, when did panic come in your life? How long has panic been around? And you start getting them to think that there is some part of them that is separate from the panic. And if you're not the panic, if you are not panicked, then maybe there's a possibility that, you know, that we could let it go, or we could do something else with it, or we could make another choice. And so people will say, well, you know, panic has been with me since I was 5 years old. That's very interesting. I mean, what would you like to say to panic? I mean, what do you think it would say to you? And you start actually treating it like treating whatever that symptom is like a character, you know, and that's part of the narrative approach is this idea of stories, right? Of what's the narrative. So I'd like you to think about this. And if you haven't done this, you know, my friend Kim Addis from Frame of Mind Coaching talks about all the time, the power of journaling. And if you listen to the show and you're a fan of the show, you know that, you know, I'm a big fan of journaling as well. One of the things that I suggest is that you get a journal, and if you're feeling stuck, you're feeling like there's something that's keeping me from being where I want to be. Ask yourself, you know, see if you can find a name for it. Right. So for me, maybe, you know, I know sometimes that I hold myself back because I don't want to disappoint someone, or I feel like if I put something out there, then someone's going to be upset with me or something like that. And so, you know, I found myself kind of holding back at times, you know, from sharing what I really want to share. So if I look at that and I say, okay, you know what, like, I'm really frustrated with myself. You know, I'm just a, you know, one of the words that someone once used to describe me when I worked at an old job was people pleaser. Oh, you're just a people pleaser, right? So then I can look at that and say, oh my God, you know, I'm always going to be doing this forever, and this is just how I am. Or I can take a step back and say, okay, when did this come into my life? When did this start? And another question that I really like to ask is, this isn't so much from Michael White, but this is a question that I just like to ask, and I kind of came to myself, which is, you know, what would your life be like if you didn't have that thing in your life? So what would my life be like if I didn't have this people pleasing in my life? Well, I'd be able to say more of what I want to say. I'd be able to be more authentic. I would feel more free. I'd be able to do the work that I want to do. My business would run better. You see how this is all working, right? So write all those things down, you know, write down if there's, you know, if I didn't have this thing in my life that's keeping me stuck, whatever it is, whatever you've named it, you know, what would my life be like? How would things be different? And what's nice about that is it gets you started on a path of thinking about your life without this, you know, without this thing. And the other thing that, so having that externalizing conversation in journaling is, can be very, very powerful. And, you know, and the posture that you take towards whatever it is that's bothering you. So the posture can be, you know, how can I, you know, I do believe that, I've said this before, you know, the idea of there's no enemies in the self. That isn't my quote. That is from Ann Wiser Cornell and inner focusing. And she says, there's no enemies in the self. I really believe that, you know, I believe that whatever it is that's keeping us stuck really just wants to keep us safe, but it doesn't realize that you know, stuck is not really safe, as Randy Gage says in his book, you know, risky is the new safe. So the posture that we can take towards it is, you know, what does this thing want to tell me? What do I have to learn from it? How can it be my teacher? You know, not fighting whatever it is that's bothering you, but to allow it to be there, but to get that separation from it. So, you know, if I'm going to call this thing, you know, the people pleaser, you know, that's the character in my life, the people pleaser. Well, what does a people pleaser want for me? What does it want to tell me? You know, and so if I did some journaling, I might find, you know, the people, and I definitely have done journaling on this type of thing. You know, it might say to me, well, you know, I want to make sure you don't get hurt. You know, I just want to take care of you. And so now I can understand and take a posture towards it. I have some separation from it because it's not me, right? It's not that I am this thing. It's that this character has kind of entered my life and is impacting my life. And so if that's the case, then I can start to really shift my story and think about how could I live a life where I'm not listening to and doing everything that people pleaser wants me to do. You know, maybe he's still there, maybe he hangs around, but I don't have to do everything that he wants me to do. I don't have to please him, right? And maybe I just need to take care of him and reassure him that, you know, it's going to be okay. I've got it. But hopefully you get the idea. You know, this, you take a posture, a compassionate posture towards the thing that's bothering you. Not beating it up, because that's not going to make it better. But you realize, oh, wow, I really don't have to just do whatever it is that this, you know, this character is telling me. And then the other thing that I think is really helpful then is to actually get some external, you know, this is something that Michael White does talk about, you know, getting some outsider witnesses to witness and see the changes that you've made. And of course, you know, therapy is a great place to do this. And he talked a lot about ceremonies, but can you find other people when you do make this change in your life? Can you find other supportive people who can support you in this new story of becoming the person that you want them to be? And I want to take a little time to address this right now, because I think this is one of the most challenging things when it comes to living out a new story. Is to find the people who can support us in truly becoming the person that I think we are all along. You know, what Michael White would call our preferred selves, you know, the self that we want to be. Because a lot of times, I think one of the reasons and that one of the things that keeps us stuck is that we don't want to leave the story that we're in, because it will change our position relative to the people around us. So think about, you know, if you're stuck in some way, right? Whatever it is that you want to change, think about the people around you and think about how you're staying stuck and you're staying small, you're staying in the way that you are, might serve the relationships that you have. So, you know, for example, I'll give you an example. I used to work with a woman who was I know that deep down she definitely was capable of being assertive, but she wasn't assertive with her family, with her children, and with her boyfriend. And, you know, we worked on this idea of, you know, what would it take to be assertive and to let them know your needs and to, you know, have them take your needs seriously. And she started to actually do that. And one of the things she found was that the people in her life started cutting her out. You know, they started saying, well, we don't want you to come around, Mom. We don't want to be around you because, you know, you're not giving us what we want. You're not doing what we want. And that was when I realized how much sometimes there can be a great price to pay. You know, sometimes people can come around, you know, sometimes our loved ones can come around and they can accept us. They might resist it at first, but sometimes people really can't come around to accepting you and your new story. And so an important part of shifting your story is not just in your head, it's also really finding the support of people who can support you in living your new story. I think of this with addiction, you know, as a great example. If you think about, you know, ever known anyone or if you yourself have gone to a recovery group and you start to meet people who support you in being a sober person, right? And a responsible person. And then you go back out in the world and you see your old buddies and people that, you know, used to drink and drug with. And all of a sudden you realize, wow, wait a minute, you know, these other people really can't support me in being sober. And in fact, you know, a lot of times, you know, when I do work with addictions, people would say, oh, you know, all my old friends are saying, oh, you think you're better than me, right? Because it threatens their sense of self. I mean, what does it say about them? You know, if you get sober and you're changing your life, and it doesn't have to be, of course, it doesn't have to be addiction. It could be anything, right? If you take a next step, a next evolution in your consciousness and your thinking and your business, you could lose the people around you. And so I think that's one of the very important things that we have to look at when we really start looking at the idea of, okay, I'm going to shift my story. It's really important to have those people around us. You know, I think of it like theater and a play. You know, at any given point, I do believe that we have, you know, an authentic self. But I think that authentic self is something that changes over time. And I think that we have, you know, we can make a decision about what feels right for us and what we really want. But it's like, if we're in the play, you've got to find the right audience. You've got to find the audience that wants to see the play you're putting on, right? If you're putting on a comedy and everyone's there for a tragedy, no matter how great that comedy is, they might not want to see you that way. And in fact, I'm sure you've seen actually, you know, we can think about, for example, actors and actresses who've been stereotyped, you know, anyone who's ever played like a superhero or something like that. It's very hard to be able, you know, for people to be able to see you in another light, you know, or oftentimes I know on the show Friends, you know, they really wanted to make a lot of money, or Seinfeld, same way. The actors wanted to make as much money as possible because they really knew that they would be associated with the show Seinfeld for, you know, forever. And, you know, some of them went on, some of them haven't gone on as much, but, you know, we certainly remember all of them from their main role in Seinfeld. And so, you know, it's kind of like being typecast, right? So that's another thing to think about in your life. Do you have people who typecast you? And then also, how do you modify yourself in order to perhaps, you know, be able to maintain those relationships with people around you? And do you want to maintain those relationships? That was a hard one. You know, that for me has been a really hard one. And I think it's one of the reasons that I kind of have pulled back a little bit from, you know, I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to speak with you, because I think in some other forms, I have pulled back a bit on social media. I have pulled back from communication, and perhaps it's this idea of changing, right? And so, you know, as I come to you and I'm sharing this with you, I'm also kind of sharing with you a little bit of what's going on in my life and in my own story and how that's evolving. So, you know, as I kind of think about where I am and how I want to shift, you know, I've been thinking about this idea of, you know, being conscious of and being aware that the choices that I make and what I say and what I do and how I shift my own story will also shift the relationships of those around me. And so something to really think about. And think about, like I said, in your own life. Now, the other piece is to obviously really ask yourself, you know, if I wasn't this other thing, and I ask you this, you know, if I wasn't this panic person, you know, what would I be and what would I do? And that's the fun part. And that's the part that I really enjoy about narrative therapy, is if we can take that stance and say, okay, well, you don't have to be this thing. I don't have to be this people pleaser. You know, what would you want? And this is where I'd encourage you to really, again, you know, use a dream board, use a vision board, whatever you need to do to allow your imagination to truly roam and think about, you know, what would you want to be? And again, you know, it's funny, as I record this, you can probably hear this here, that I'm kind of thinking through these things myself. You know, as I, they say, you know, we teach what we most need to learn. And I've been thinking about these things myself about, you know, if I wasn't holding back in some way, you know, if I wasn't finding myself in some way holding back, what would I want to do? What would I want to do next? And I myself want to give that some real thought. You know, I've definitely been interested, obviously, in this idea of voice for a very long time. I do like the practical application of voice. I love helping people with podcasting and doing that piece. I don't think I'd ever be happy with, you know, it would be nice to be able to sort of marry the therapy piece and the coaching piece with this practical piece. And I definitely do that in my job. You know, I work today helping people to share their voice through podcasts and live streams. But there's something, you know, there's something else there, and I'm not sure exactly what that is, but that's the nice part about narrative approach, is that we can hold the door for possibility. For those of you that have listened to Bill O'Hanlon on this program or other podcasts that I've interviewed him, you know, we actually just did one recently. Bill just he's made this transition to becoming a professional songwriter. You know, I think for Bill, that was that kind of thing too, where he started to shift his story. He started to say, all right, I've done all these other things, but, you know, if I wasn't this, you know, famous psychotherapist, if I wasn't a renowned author, you know, what else would I want to do? Who else would I be? What else would I want to do? You know, one of the things that people ask me as well all the time that I wanted to address is this idea of, you know, do I believe that we could be anything that we put our minds to be? And, you know, it's a question that is, you know, there's no really, I think, one definitive answer. I think it's a kind of a paradox, because I think that there there are limits to what we even want to be. So, for example, you know, I think if we're not gifted in something and we really don't have a talent for it, I don't think that for the most part we're going to want it. You know, I never really wanted to be a basketball player. I have really no ability to be a basketball player, and I've never wanted to be one. So it's never been an issue. On the other hand, I don't think that there's only one thing that we do through our whole lives. I think that what's happening is, especially now, I think life is, I think we're evolving. And so, you know, of course, you know, career is only one way of reinventing yourself. There are many other ways of reinventing yourself as well. But I do think that when it comes to careers, comes to jobs, you know, we're going to do multiple things over our lifetime. And so this way of thinking, you know, about shifting your story can be a really cool way to reinvent yourself, you know, after a period of time. Because you're always asking yourself, well, what would I want to do, right? If I didn't have this limitation, you know, what limitation is getting in the way? I know that limitation isn't me. You know, I know that it's external to me. I'm not the problem. The problem is the problem. And then what would I do if this problem wasn't in the way? And I think it's just so freeing because it really allows us to truly live in possibility. So I think it's really exciting. I mean, if you think about, you know, think about a life where you're constantly asking yourself, what would I want to do? What would I want to be? And can we be anything? I don't know. I mean, there certainly are physical limitations, right? I mean, I'm 44 years old. I'm not going to become a professional athlete. That's not going to happen. But at the same time, you know, maybe as we wind down here, I'll leave you with Barbara Sher, you know, and make a little bit of a switch here from narrative work to Barbara Sher's work. Barbara Sher wrote Witchcraft. It's only too late if you don't start now. And one of the things that she talks about is this idea that, you know, there's no dream that you have that you can't have the essence of that dream. And that I believe to be true, because I don't believe that we have dreams that we can't fulfill. You know, I don't think that, like I said, I think that if we have a desire in us, there is some part of us that can fulfill that. So if you want to be an actor, right, you decide you want to be an actor, it doesn't mean that you might be a, you know, if you think about what the heart of that is, right, is the heart of it to be rich and famous? Is the heart of it to be on stage, right? And if you get to the heart of what that is, if it's, let's say, you know, I want to be on stage, you can be on stage, right? Even if it's in a local production, even if it's a independent film or you get on YouTube, there's the heart of any dream is possible. And that's what's really cool. So can we be anything? Yes and no, right? Yes and no. Maybe not in the way that we first imagined it, but there is no dream that at the heart of it is not possible. And I actually got certified to be a certified success team leader under Barbara Sher because I really love her work. And one of the tenets that Barbara talks about is this idea of having support and the importance of having support. So if you take away one thing, if you take away two things from this episode, one is this idea that, you know, whatever it is you think that's keeping you stuck isn't you. And the other one is that shifting your story doesn't happen just in your head. It happens from the support of other people around you. And, you know, I just want to say first, thank you to you as a listener, because you, even though you and I may have never met, and some of us have, some of you I know quite well, some of you I've never met, but wherever you are in the world, I want you to know that you make such a difference to me because, you know, each week I get to come on and share my thoughts and share, you know, hopefully you find this helpful, but I get to share, you know, what I have found to be true for myself. And, you know, through that, I myself have shifted my story several times through creating change. And I know that it will continue to happen. So that's my challenge for you for this week. You know, are you living out the story that you most would like to live out? And if not, what's getting in the way? I want you to write that down, and I want you to explore who would you be. I want you to take that externalizing approach. Who would I be if I didn't let this thing run my life? If I didn't define myself by this thing, and then start to think about how could I actually take steps? And this will be another podcast because we won't have time for it today. But how can I start to take steps towards living out that preferred self in the world? And who do I need to support me in living that out? And I'll tell you, I mean, from doing a decade of therapy, from working with literally thousands of people, from helping hundreds of people start their own podcasts, I know that as human beings, one of the very cool things we can do is that we can take something that's only in our minds, right? We can take an idea in our head and we can make it a reality. And that starts with a move into the preferred story of life. And, you know, it's amazing because coming up on a good, oh my gosh, it's coming up, this year has been, I believe, 5 years of creating change. And I never could have imagined, the journey that internet radio and podcasting would take me on. And again, I just want you to know how grateful I am to you. And I'd love to hear from you at dougforesta@gmail.com. I will reply to you. And I'd love to hear from you about topics that you'd like to hear me cover, guests that you'd like me to speak to. And as always, remember, I want to remind you that keep creating. The world needs your voice. Take care. Until next time, this is Doug Foresta on Creating Change.